Hi, I'm Yona Stamatis, your host of the WUIS Special Arts broadcast of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. Here to help me welcome you to another exquisite season is Maestro Alistair Willis, conductor and music director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. Thank you so much for joining me.
Always a pleasure, Yona.
Alistair, the season begins Saturday with a concert titled Resounding Russians and including three important works of Russian music. Tell us about the wonderful selections on this concert.
Well, I'm firstly thrilled to be beginning the season with these amazing pieces of music and a real cross-section of Russian music, I think. Glinka, of course, was known as the father of Russian music. He kind of started this journey encouraging all future composers to focus on Russian music, to be nationalistic. And pretty much every Russian composer since him owes a lot to him for what he pioneered.
Certainly influencing the Mighty Five, right? In their
absolutely, absolutely.
What was it that they took from Glinka? Was it, I mean, was it a penchant for using folk music, or?
I think that certainly is all combined. But the idea of looking deep into Russian folklore, Russian heritage, for their inspiration, for compositions to make Russian music Russian. I mean, that sounds so obvious to us today, but. He really encouraged that, and he wrote two main big operas, which were called Life of the Tsar, how much more Russian can you get, and Ruslan and Ludmilla, a Russian tale, and we're playing the overture to Ruslan and Ludmilla.
What is the overture like? What can audiences expect?
I think that if you're not familiar with the name Mikhail Glinka and the overture Ruslan and Ludmilla, I think you will recognize it when you hear it. It's quite famous, and it's a roller coaster ride. But it is a bravura piece, especially for the strings, full of energy. And it's so much fun to play and to listen to.
All right, so next on the program, a work by Prokofiev. Such an interesting composer, quite unlike Glinka or Tchaikovsky, who we hear later on the program. How would you describe Prokofiev's music to somebody who's never come across it before?
Oh, that's a great question. When we think of Prokofiev, I know the first thing that comes to mind for me is Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
This music perhaps is some of his most famous. When I think of Prokofiev, I also think of Peter and the Wolf. One of the first pieces I heard as a kid. And yet he wrote everything. He wrote chamber music, he wrote symphonies, he wrote five piano concertos. And he's just an amazing voice and a very, very important one for the early 20th century. And I think if you were to choose of his five piano concertos, his third is the most famous, the most recognizable.
And this is what is on the program.
And this is
Saturday.
What's on the program, the third piano concerto.
And that's also how Prokofiev achieved his own fame as a composer. Isn't that true? Performing his own works on the piano and actually premiering this very piano concerto in Chicago.
In Chicago, indeed. We have an Illinois connection with,
yes,
this,
indeed,
with this concerto. Yeah, it's like so many of the great composers, they were also performers as well. And you're right, Prokofiev, I think, was known just as much as a pianist as he was a composer. When you hear it, you'll be thinking, my gosh, what an amazing pianist
Absolutely.
This composer was.
Yeah. Absolutely. And who is our amazing piano soloist?
Our amazing pianist is a man called Alexander Toradze. Now, Alexander, or Alexo, as he goes by, I met him for the first time when I was the assistant conductor in Cincinnati.
Oh.
This was the start of my career years ago. And he came to play the third piano concerto by Prokofiev. And I really have, I've never forgotten that experience.
Hmm.
How he played this piano was just remarkable. Somebody wrote on my Facebook account just last night that they remember hearing Lexico play, and they say, he doesn't just play, he consumes the piano.
Wow.
And that right there is what we need to know. That's the bait to get our audience to come and hear this person.
It's such a fiendishly difficult work.
It's so difficult, but he owns this piece. And I don't say that lightly. He specializes in the Russian repertoire, but he's played this piece with all the top orchestras and the top conductors in the world.
Mm. Wow.
his recordings of all five piano concertos with Gergiev and the Kirov Orchestra were hailed as the best on record. And this is 1998 by the Piano International Piano Magazine.
Oh, there's no higher compliment
than that. There's no higher compliment than that. We've got this guy coming to bring his talents and his depth for this piece of music to our audiences. I couldn't be more excited. And be sure to come early at 6:30, where we have, as always, our pre-concert conversation. And he'll be joining me for that. And I've got some questions for him. He'll tell us more about Prokofiev. And bring your own questions, because this is a personality and a musical force that you want to get as close as you can to. So I'm so thrilled to be welcoming him here this week. He's amazing.
That's wonderful. Now, the program closes with the Fourth Symphony by Tchaikovsky, a composer who is famous not only for his compositions, but for his unique relationship with his patron, who I know she was instrumental in helping Tchaikovsky write many compositions, including this one. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that relationship?
Sure. It was probably the most important relationship he had in his life. Her name was Nadia von Meck, yeah. I think I said that correctly. And they had only one stipulation in this friendship, that they were never to meet.
How interesting is that? And unusual.
She wanted to keep it anonymous, but not so anonymous that we didn't know her name. And they corresponded by letter. And she helped him financially. And she was kind of like a voice there, so he could spill his thoughts too.
She seemed to be one of the most stabilizing factors in his life in general.
Absolutely. Without her, would we have had the wealth of music that Tchaikovsky has given us? So yeah, kudos to patrons.
Absolutely.
Very important.
And she asked Tchaikovsky, in essence, to write a program note of his own about this symphony. She was so curious, what was it actually about? Since so many people are often so curious, what did the composer intend when writing this piece? And so we're lucky now to have this description in Tchaikovsky's words. And he talks a lot about fate, the fate theme. What is this fate theme? How does it play out in the symphony? Is that something we can hear? Is it like Beethoven's, Fifth Symphony? Or is it more subtle? How would you describe it here?
Well, with Beethoven, you hear da-da-da-dam constantly through, it pervades the whole movement. It comes thousands of times. And you hear it in the other movements too. But with Tchaikovsky's Fourth Symphony, the fate motif is what we hear at the very, very beginning. We don't hear that in every measure, but we hear that rhythm, we hear it actually being quoted in other movements as well. And it's the sense that the fate, the doom that is ever present and not really going away. And at the end of the symphony, the listener has to ask, well, did he figure it out? Has he solved it? We know with hindsight that he didn't, because he wrote another two symphonies about the same thing. But it comes back to this program note, which is so interesting. What if we didn't know the program note? What if that letter had been, those letters had been destroyed to Nadia von Meck, and we just had this symphony? What would we be able to tell from it? And that's how I try and approach the piece when I conduct it.
Well, certainly a profound emotional journey, whatever it might be about. I mean, there's
it
moments
is,
of
right.
absolute depression and then ending in absolute joy.
Sure. I mean, you sit down in the audience and you hear bam, bagadadam, bam, bam. And even if you don't know anything about the music, you can feel this tension.
Right.
You can feel this, this ain't going to be a pretty piece to begin with. And this fanfare dissolves, and then we start this writhing melody, which which for me is agonizing to listen to. And where is he going with this? It never seems to stop. And yet it grabs us. And it kind of wants to come to some sort of emotional climax several times, but doesn't for many minutes. That's my job, to make sure we don't get too loud too soon with the orchestra, to pace that. And by the end of the first movement, which is the longest and the most difficult, we're kind of left with, what just happened? We know now with hindsight what he was trying to say. The big picture is in the Fourth Symphony, he talks about universal fate. In the Fifth Symphony, which we played a few years ago, he talks about his own personal fate. And then in the Sixth Symphony, his own demise, if you will, in the Pathétique, and how that last movement just ends so softly, and he's as if disappearing. But we know his biggest struggle in his life. We know this from his diaries, where he wrote profusely about overcoming his homosexuality, and how he wasn't able to lived in a society where this was not allowed, and he couldn't say anything about it, and he wasn't able to express himself. And if he needed an audience and a public to listen to his music, he had to keep quiet about that. So he only had music to express his issues, and he tried everything to overcome homosexuality. His homosexuality, we know about that from his diaries. He even tried marriage to a woman, but it didn't work. And it was right after he got married and realized what a mistake he'd made that he wrote this symphony. So in a sense, you could say that Tchaikovsky is, in Symphony No. 4, he's composing himself out of his own crisis.
It's fascinating. We can understand why it's such an emotional journey, this work, even for the listener.
And yet the last movement is it joyful and happy? Because there is happiness and partying in it. And we're kind of left at the end, well, did he figure it out, as I mentioned? Because there's euphoria at the end. But what is the taste? What is the flavor of this euphoria? And that's kind of where the letters to Nadi von Meck came in. He explains quite clearly. And when I read this, I said, oh, that makes sense. It's like he's trying to find happiness in someone else's happiness. So as you listen to the last movement, you hear the party, you hear the joy, but that's not his. It's like he's watching it.
Alistair, if you have a few minutes, it would be lovely to hear about this upcoming season. Maybe you could give us a few highlights of what audiences can expect.
I'd love to. It's a season that I'm extraordinarily proud of, and there's not a concert that I'm not looking forward to. Of course, that's easy for me to say, but really, each concert is so unique and so special. Traditionally, our most popular concert is coming up in November, the week before Thanksgiving, and we'll be collaborating with our fellow arts partners in the community, as we normally do. And we've invited Springfield Ballet Company, Springfield Youth Performance Group. We have the youth orchestra from here, Sangamon Valley Youth Orchestra, and in Bloomington, the Bloomington Normal Youth Orchestra, as well as the Twin Cities School of Dance are going to be joining us. And the rock of our performance will be of course, the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. But our main guests will be the ISU Chorus, directed by Carol Carlson.
Wonderful.
This will be a program of Thanksgiving and Hanukkah and Christmas traditional music, and it's just fun for all the family. You know, we love doing this concert, and audiences love
certainly
to
looking
hear
forward
us.
To that. And of course, children are welcome.
All children are welcome to any concerts, really. Children of all ages, especially. we close out 2015 with a concert right before Christmas featuring Baroque music. And this orchestra has a wonderful tradition of playing Baroque music. We have music by Handel, by Corelli, by Telemann, and by Haydn. In the new year, we start off with a program called All Strings Attached. And we have, this is what I'm going to call a serenade sandwich. We open and close with a serenade. And the first piece is Mozart's Eine kleine Nachtmusik, which essentially is a symphony for strings, but it's technically a serenade. It's so famous and so gorgeous. We end with Dvorak's serenade for Strings, which is a piece that melted me the very first time I heard it. I love this music so much. It's so incredible. So thrilled to bring this here. And in the middle, we have piece by Aaron J. Kernis. He's an award-winning American composer, and his piece is called Musica Celestis. In February, we continue with the Three B's program, Beethoven, Barber, and Brahms. Beethoven Coriolan Overture, Brahms Second Symphony, and to play the Barber Violin Concerto will be our concertmaster, Violeta Todorova.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, very excited to have her. She is taking a year of absence. She won a job with the Colorado Symphony, a full-time orchestra, and can't play with us at all this season. And you're allowed to take a year off, a year of absence. That's fine. We'll miss her, but we will, fortunately, we'll get to see her at least just the one time. In March, we have a slight change to our programming. We have exchanged a smaller orchestra concert for a bigger orchestra concert, in essence. And it's another, how shall I say, lighter concert, suitable for the whole family, another pops concert, essentially. And the theme is The Last Night of the Proms. We'll be joined by ISU's magical choir, magical singers, and it's lots of audience participation, and it's really going to be fun. So bring your singing voices and bring the whole family. We then move to our education week, and this is very, very important to me. We're going to be performing Peter and the Wolf, but we're not just going to be performing Peter and the Wolf. We've invited the Magic Circle Mime Company to come and give us their rendition of it. And if you are new to classical music and coming to hear a concert for the first time and hearing Peter and the Wolf for the first time, how this is presented with the mimes is unique, and it's something you will never, ever forget. And we have a concert featuring music by Mozart and Mahler, Mahler's Fourth Symphony, which, as you know, has a mezzo-soprano soloist. Singing the part will be Julie Boulian, who sang the title role in the Ravel opera that I recorded for CD, which got a Grammy nomination.
Yes, indeed. Wow.
So to reconnect with her and to introduce her to our audience is going to be great. And she'll be singing some Mozart arias in the first half,
lovely,
as well. And we end our season with two blockbuster pieces. If I had to choose one concert that I'm looking forward to the most, and I'm looking forward to them all, it would have to be the final concert of the season. It's a continuation of our Silk Road journey that we've been doing together. We've had a percussionist, Joe Gramley. We've had the pipa player, Wu Man. We've had the tabla player, Sandeep Das. We've performed music by a violinist from the Silk Road Ensemble, Colin Jacobson. We had a world premiere, which was a 26-minute, deep, significant piece of music by a Silk Road composer, Dmitry Yanov-Yanovsky. Mm-hmm. And we continue that with two of the most amazing soloists, I think. Wu Tong plays a sheng, which is a Chinese instrument. I don't want to give too much away, but it is a unique instrument which will make you go wow when you hear how it's played and how he plays it. And Mike Block will be playing cello. It's a concerto for sheng and cello, written by a Chinese composer called Zhao Lin. But it's also the second half that is I'm looking forward to very much as well. To finish my tenure at the Illinois Symphony Orchestra with Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition. For me, it's the perfect vehicle for us to showcase the orchestra and all of its incredible depth and talents. It's like a concerto for orchestra. It's a piece that everybody loves, everybody knows, very famous. And it will just be a chance for us to reflect on how far we've all come artistically in these 4 years and be very proud of our musicians.
Incredible. What an incredible season to offer. So I have been speaking with Maestro Alistair Willis about the upcoming season with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. Their first concert is tomorrow, Saturday, October 3rd at 7:30 p.m. in Sangamon Auditorium. That is the Resounding Russians Concert, featuring a program of important composers of Russian music, including Glinka, Tchaikovsky, and Prokofiev. Thank you so much for joining me. For more information about tickets, please visit the website of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra at ilsymphony.org. I'm Yonah Stamatis. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you at the concert.